One of the great pleasures of being involved with the broader Jewish community is the opportunity to meet people who are true leaders and really make a difference in this world. Rabbi Menachem Penner is the Dean of Reitz, which for those of us in Chicago means he's the head of the yeshiva of Yeshiva University. Rabbi Penner was a Rav in Young Israel of Hollingswood for a decade. He is now focusing all of his energies on Reitz, which continues to do extraordinary things for Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Penner also is one of the great voices on understanding what tefillah is all about. And for those of you who've heard Rabbi Penner, who's been here a number of times to Chicago, you know what I'm referring to. He came in specifically for this morning, and after a brief stop at one of the most important tourist spots in Chicago, Romanian, he'll be returning. He'll be returning straight to New York. I appreciate that he gave us a day, because that's what it means when you come in and out of Chicago. But he gave us a day so close to the Yom Narayim, so close to next week's inauguration of the new president of Yeshiva University, which I'm sure is consuming everyone's time there. And without any further ado, it's truly my pleasure to introduce Rabbi Menachem Penner.
Good morning, everyone. Good almost afternoon. I guess it's a little closer to afternoon on my time than it is on yours. It is great to be able to be here. It's really amazing to be able to just get on a plane in the morning and to find yourself in a few minutes with our fellow Jews in Chicago. When Rabbi Matanky asked about coming out on this particular day, I said, I can. I'm not sure I'll be awake. It happens to be that yeshiva started last Sunday, and the first couple of weeks of yeshiva are, in a great way, absolutely overwhelming. Absolutely overwhelming. We go from a very quiet campus where we can actually get stuff done to 1,300 young men showing up excited to learn Torah. And there is event after event after event. This was the first Shabbos, Rabbi Reis, that the cafeteria ever sold out completely. They turned people away. And it was absolutely an incredible, incredible Shabbos that we had in Yeshiva. And I'm very excited to be able to now share a little bit of what we have there to share it here. Bishus Rabbanim Chashuvim, I know it's a very busy day, unfortunately a day with difficult things. Thank all the organizations that have sponsored, especially thank you to the Matanky family, who I've grown to really become a small part of over my visits here. And Zecher Nishmas Yaakov Levi Matanky. We're actually going to speak about Avelos. We're going to speak about death. So it's appropriate for the marking of a yahrzeit. But more than that, we're going to speak about Yom HaKippurim. I'm going to do something with you that's a little bit different. I hope to give you a lot to think about. Even if I can only be here for an hour, I hope to give you stuff that you'll be thinking about for quite a while. The restrictions on Yom Kippur make for a particular aura of the day. All the things that we can't do. It's not exactly sitting Shiva, as we'll talk about, but actually some of and many of the things are really rather similar to some of the restrictions that we have during Shiva. And one of the questions that's probed is, are we supposed to enjoy Yom Kippur? Oh, we're not supposed to enjoy Tisha B'Av, and I don't think we do. We may get a lot out of it. In recent years, so much has been done to make Tisha B'Av meaningful. But what about Yom Kippur? Is Yom Kippur supposed to be hard? Is Yom Kippur supposed to be somehow a kapara for something, that if I don't eat, then it makes up for something that I did? Or is it supposed to just be a day of spirituality? And the easier it is, the better. Should I be taking 24-hour caffeine pills? Should I be taking 24-hour Tylenol from my back? Or should, no, is the part of Yom Kippur to feel every single pain, and is that part of how I achieve atonement on Yom HaKippur? There are different indications. In the Tefillah Zaka, in the Tefillah that we say, if you get there on time before Kol Nidre, such a beautiful prayer, The Tefillah Zaka says, Hine ani mekavel, I accept upon myself all of the restrictions of Yom HaKippurim, all the things I'm not allowed to do. And by desisting from them, I hope to make up for mistakes that I made. I'm not going to eat. And in exchange for not eating, let that be a kapara. Let that somehow be, we know the concept of fasting to achieve atonement. Let that be a kapara for something that I probably shouldn't have eaten. I'm not going to have any pleasures. So let that God be an atonement for pleasures I shouldn't have had during the year. The worse the day is, the more kapara I get. Of course, you should have that in mind. Not just, oh, I feel sick. Okay, oh, I feel sick. God, let this be a kapara for me. If I was deserving of another punishment, don't worry. I'm going to punish myself. I got you covered. I'll make sure to have a difficult day, and that should stand in the place of anything, God forbid, that should have happened to me. But there are many other indications that that's not so. It's a very, very mystical comment of the Ramban. The Ramban's trying to figure out what this goat is that we're pushing off the cliff. And the Ramban has a very, very strange opinion that somehow it is a nod to the dark side. Very interesting Ramban to read in Parshat Acharei Mot, that somehow this goat that I push off of the cliff is there to somehow deal with the dark side of the upper worlds. Fascinating to read. And in that he discusses what the angels are doing and saying during Yom Kippur. And he says that Samael, I don't know what that means. Samael is not an angel that we're supposed to like. Samael says to God, and he's not happy about saying this, what could we do with the Jewish people? They're literally angels. It's judgment day, and the eyes of God are on the world to judge the world, and the Jews, he says, are angels. They're angels. They don't wear footwear like angels. Angels supposedly don't have knees. I don't know if you know that. That's one of the things about angels. They have no knees because we don't want them to sit down in front of God. So they were created without knees. They're standing all the time. We know the Jewish people are standing all the time. And angels don't eat. Jews don't eat. On Yom Kippur, we try to be angels. This approach would say that what Yom Kippur is about is not making our lives difficult, but making our lives angelic. I don't care how you get there. Could it be that the reason why we eat on the 9th, the day before Yom Kippur, is simply to make the 10th easier? The idea is not to suffer. The idea is to not eat. To spend the day out of the realm of the physical, in the spiritual, and if I can figure out how to make that easier, so be it. The purpose is not to suffer. I'd like to look at a very different approach to what Yom HaKippurim might be. Not a day of suffering, not a day of imitating the angels, but something very thought-provoking. I want to look together with you at Avelus, and I'm not actually going to suggest that it is sitting Shiva,
but something even more profound. But two words of introduction before we take a look at the structure of Avelus. The structure of Avelus. The first thing is that the Torah doesn't need modern psychology to give it a stamp of approval. There are many laws, there are many customs that we don't really understand, but that's what it means to be a Jew. We believe. We have a certain trust in God, in our sages. Not every halacha seems to make so much sense to us or any sense at all. But once in a while, you have something that simply is so in line with the way the world understands human thinking and is such a profound experience when one goes through it that they get the sense that, wow, the Torah really makes sense. Avelus, the laws of mourning, in most cases, I believe,
finds that sweet spot. I'm not going to suggest that there aren't areas of the Torah and even customs that the rabbis created that I struggle with too. I don't understand. But Avelus is not one of those, as we'll see. The second is that when one looks at Jewish practice, the more ritual, text, law that one sees in a particular area and at a particular time, one can surmise the more we need guidance in that area. The more that the Torah leaves it and the rabbis left it up to us, the more it assumed that we could probably navigate it correctly. The more restrictions are posed, the more law, the more custom, the more text, the more we're told, don't make it up, here's how to do it, the more difficult it is to accomplish or to go through, to experience whatever that thing is properly. Take, for example, Pesach. I'm sure that the Rabbanim here talk occasionally about what the goal of Pesach is. What am I supposed to get out of Pesach? How am I supposed to be different after Pesach? But whatever that goal is, all jokes aside, it must be difficult to achieve. Because very little on Pesach is left to chance. And that night, the Seder night, Rabbi Soloveitchik called the most exalted night of the year that we're supposed to take a millennia-old tradition and pass it to a next generation, that's got to be really difficult because the rabbis left us no choice, no improvisation. The whole night is called Seder, order. And they've got audio-visual pieces, and they've got singing, and they put everything together because whatever it is that we're supposed to be passing to our children on that night is not simple. And if we would just, as some unfortunately do, sort of make up their own ritual for the Seder night, it may be beautiful, it may be spiritual, but it's not going to hit the mark. There is no time in our lives where every single move is dictated to us like when we are sitting shiva. You can't breathe without asking the rabbis. You can't breathe without opening up a book on the table. You literally don't know. Are you sitting? Are you standing? Are you eating? Are you saying a bracha? Am I allowed to do this? Am I allowed to do that? By the fact that the week of Shiva, by the fact that the laws of mourning are so very specific and detailed, should be an indication to us that it's not easy to properly go through